This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bishop, and with me today, as always, is Sam, the man, Stepanenko.
And I am the original, not a remake.
And we are going to be talking a whole lot of remakes. Man, we've been doing this for almost 4 years. I have.
Yes.
You're on, I think, your third.
It was 3 years, actually, in March.
There you go. Three years. Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, my anniversary was actually your birthday. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
National holiday.
It should be. Everybody should celebrate me.
Exactly. Wait a minute.
and your anniversary for the show.
There we go.
We actually did talk about remakes in our future way back in episodes 52 and 53. There were so many, we had to put it out into two episodes.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about all the ones that we did last time because there's still some that are on that fucking list.
There's still quite a few that we mentioned in those two episodes, and to be honest, I don't remember what we talked about, so there may be some doubling up, but that's fine. Like, we're going to try to cherry-pick through the list. Again, we're going to be sourcing a lot of this from Den of Geek, who just kind of keeps updating their list. So
yeah, it's not that up to date. There's a couple things on there that are
old,
that are older or have already come out, like Death Witch, which we did just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, there's definitely, they haven't removed things from the list, so we're gonna skip over that. Yeah. I mean, Aladdin's on here. We know certain things are coming.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything that's been animated by Disney is coming as a live action ish.
Yes.
Like, I have to say ish because, let's face it, when you have an animated Lion King and you're remaking it into some big budget thing, it's still animated.
It's just different animation, that's all.
Yeah, it's just a different style of animation. So.
And I really want to talk about the Disney live action remakes for this year. Because
there's quite a few. Because
it's,
I mean,
insane.
Dumbo's just come out. Sadly, has not done well, but I hear it's really good. Aladdin is coming,
and Lion King is coming this year as well.
Is it this year?
Is this year? Yeah,
that sounds like it would be Christmas. Then that means Aladdin's probably summer, late summer.
Somewhere in there.
That's crazy.
Three, and you know, I was thinking about it as I was sort of reading through things. I'm like, Disney's like a teenage boy who discovered masturbation. No, seriously, think about it. Okay, so you get Beauty and the Beast, and it's like, oh god, that felt so good.
Right? I would argue that Maleficent got that ball rolling.
Okay, either way, right? It's, you
there
get
was some
one
fondling there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like Maleficent was like, oh, that feels kind of good. I'm gonna have to experiment a little bit. But Beauty and the Beast was the nut, right? He's like, boom, oh wow, holy shit, I gotta do that again.
Now let's sit on our left hand.
Yeah, exactly. Now Dumbo is like the quick one right afterwards. Right, it's like, oh, that felt good, but now it's starting to feel like maybe I gotta wait a little bit. But they're still like bang, bang, bang. They're snapping them off one left, right, and center. It's like done.
I'm sure everybody was expecting that today. All right. So, now that we've just equated Disney with masturbation,
I figured it was appropriate.
In our opinions, do not sue us.
Please don't, yes.
We have nothing to give.
Less than nothing right now.
I will. I promise. I'll subscribe to your Disney Plus when you get it to Canada. I promise. That's the best I can do. It's the best I can offer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Especially now that we're, I think it's porn.
You're welcome.
All right. Like I said, we're going to be cherry picking from the Den of Geek website. We've probably talked about American Werewolf in London before, but it's worth mentioning that it's because it's Max Landis, who's the son of John Landis, who made that movie. So,
And I don't know if we have talked about it before, because that one's a fairly recent development within the last...
It's getting some steam, because Robert Kirkman's Skybound Entertainment is producing it now, which is definitely new.
Yes.
I mean, Kirkman having gone from comics, from Walking Dead, and turned that into a very successful TV show that he's merchandised the shit out of. So
plus spinoffs.
He's got some money to burn, and he's spreading it around and investing in all sorts of projects and places. In comics, I see it on my side of the fence in the comic realm, where he'll put up, when Oblivion Song launched, I got a trade paperback of the first 6 issues, and the first 12 were already in the can before number one came out, which is a good book, by the way.
Yeah, and it's good planning, because how many times have we gotten interested in a book, and then they take like 6 months for the next issue or a year, right?
I mean, because I got to read those issues as a retailer, really informed how I was going to order it, which I liked, but the bulk is the scheme of things with at least independent comic book guys, they just can't afford to do that. So that's him putting his money where his mouth is and his work is, and getting behind a project. He did it again with Die Die Die, where he just sent us stuff. We didn't even order the thing. We didn't know it was coming. He just matched our orders for Oblivion Song. So it launched really big for us, because we had a lot of faith in Oblivion Song, having read it. And, you know, he's doing that as well, and investing in projects he believes in. He's got a good eye, and he's got a good sense for art talents, and I think good storytellers.
That's good. That's what it should be. So that puts a lot of faith in what might happen with American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Max Landis is doing it, you know that he's going to respect his father's vision for it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully give us something a little bit new.
Yeah.
Right? Without deviating too much from the original story, like we talk about all the time. Is like, give us the story, but make it different.
Yeah.
Right? Give us something that we haven't seen already. So I'm excited about this one. I really am. I think that
Yeah, and I mean, it's a very fun kind of horror comedy, but it's got that incredible transformation scene, and that special effect is one of those things where
it's iconic.
It is, and you can't skimp on that when you are recreating this, because that Rick Baker, I think it was Rick Baker, who did that makeup effect, and that transformation was so good. Even if they do it in CG, they're gonna have to spend a lot of time on it. Don't let it have that cheesy, rubbery look, and yep. Or it's like a cutscene from a video game. I mean, you got to make that look good.
If you want to live up to that original, you have to, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that Max Landis is definitely considering all of that as part of their pre-production and the planning, because you don't want to diminish the original when you're touching a property that's that close to you.
Agreed.
Yeah. And this is a good segue into The Howling, because that's up for a remake now, too.
Yeah, werewolves all over the place.
Yes. I'm excited, and I was actually hoping that we'd do The Howling on the show here before a remake got announced, but I think...
Yeah. I actually had intended to do it.
Yes, I know, because I know as one of you're a big werewolf fan, and that was on your docket for stuff to do, and somehow it just keeps getting pushed back, and now we might still do it, but...
I got another werewolf movie in my pocket, so...
Excellent. And then more werewolves, they're going back to the Wolfman again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as part of that whole Universal Studios fiasco, so all that stuff has been tabled.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long time before we see any of those Universal monsters reworked. I guess, you know, unless they find another entry point. Like, we've talked about that in length on our Creature from the Black Lagoon episode.
Yeah, we did. And then we talked
where
about
where we think they should have gone, at least with what they had established, and then... I mean, honestly, it should have always been a Victorian story.
Yeah, world. I think so. If you want to go back to the classic Universal monsters, you have to keep them in their time. We talked about how it felt like they were trying to create sort of like that MCU universe, the DCEU, mm-hmm. where they wanted to create a universe where they keep going back to the well. But they
were still trying to fall under the secret organization within, like, it was kind of Hellboy meets Avengers. You could see where they were going, and I'm like, this doesn't interest me at all.
No, and that's the thing, is I understand why they were trying to do it, but they needed to do something different to make it interesting to audiences.
Mm-hmm. And they were just looking at other successful films and trying to cobble it into their own.
Yeah.
Not realizing they were the first ones to do it.
That's the irony of it, yeah. But yeah, there's a bunch on the list here that are under that banner, like Van Helsing, Invisible Man.
Yeah, and
Creature from the Black Lagoon is on there.
Invisible Man could, because I think that one is going to move forward, and that could be like their second kick at the cat, I think.
And
if it's successful, but it probably will just ignore what happened with The Mummy.
It should. It really should. And don't make the connections too terribly overt, right? So if it works, you have those connections. But if it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world.
I agree.
Right? I think that's the best way to go about that one. But yeah, I'd still like to see those happen just because we are due for some reimaginings of those classic monsters.
Yeah, I think so. But they're going to probably have to give it a longer rest now that we've had some stumbles along the way. Dracula, what was that one? Dracula... Untold, Unbound, I don't know. It was before The Mummy, which was okay, but it was only okay, and The Mummy was almost hard to watch at times. And now you kind of have to give it a rest and let people, if anything, almost do a push on the re-releasing the old stuff somehow, just to get people's interest back up again, because... And maybe they can do that on the heels of Toho. Hopefully this next Godzilla does well. And still see that there's some interest in life there.
And yeah, I mean...
And for God's sakes, release them at fucking October.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, exactly. Bring them back into the horror genre. They don't need to be action-adventure films. I mean, you can have those elements, but they really do need to be horror films.
And horror is no stranger to remakes, and with Halloween having done really well, Child's Play is due out later this year.
Yes.
We've got
Pet Sematary is out.
And Pet Sematary is out. And, I mean, there's a lot of Stephen King interest, not just in stuff that hasn't been made, but remaking stuff that has, Salem's Lot being recently talked about.
Just this last week, well, that we're recording it, and that's not on the list here actually, because it's that new. And of course, It is also the part two is coming out this year. Yeah. So there's lots of Stephen King, and I mean, it's funny how they keep going back to remake the movies that have already been made when he has such a huge library of work, right? That hasn't been
translated
to film yet.
It does bug me that they're doing that, but hopefully they're still looking at all the new stuff. I'd rather see the newer stuff than other stuff that's done well, but that's fine. Like, it did so well. It brought a new audience to a property that wasn't around the first time to watch the TV movie, which is entertaining, but didn't age particularly well. I mean, it was made for ABC, so...
Yeah, so it's missing a lot of the more graphic details that made the story horrific.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? I mean,
and Salem's Lot, I think, was initially a television film as well that got edited into a feature.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
So another one I think that's probably ripe for an update because probably didn't get to see it in its purest form.
Almost certainly, yeah, unless you were one of those fortunate few, because it did air on TV before it was...
Yes, it did.
Yeah, before it was recut into the feature film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's something that I'm interested in. Like, there's no question that I'm interested in a lot of these remakes.
I mean, Jordan Peele, he's circling around Candyman right now.
It's gone into production.
Yeah, because he's casting, only, right? He's only producing it.
Yeah.
He's not directing it, so...
How's he going to find time? This guy, he's so busy.
Oh, my God. This guy who is so associated with comedy is now very much associated with horror.
But he is associated with a comedy remake, too.
What's that one?
Police Academy.
Oh, wow. I did not
say. Yeah, Key and Peele are associated with that one.
They'd be a good pairing for that. Just to remind people, hi, we were funny once.
Yes. And also, they're just associated with producing it.
Yeah.
But there are rumors that they're also going to appear in it as well.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about a lot of those 80s monster and supernatural type of characters... You got to know Freddy's back on the table, Jason's back on the table. There's a lot that's been handed over to Blumhouse.
Yes. Friday the 13th is one of the ones that's still sort of working through some conflicts. Yeah. But I don't... They see...
Blumhouse could be the guys to do it. I mean, I think they definitely have a better understanding of the genre than I think Platinum Dunes ever did.
Oh, for sure. There's no question that Blumhouse, they have a reverence for horror and they understand the reverence that other people have for it and they want to make sure that it's being recognized.
Yeah, I mean, and they do very good horror on a lower budget. I mean, we're just starting to see them spend a little bit more money now because they've made like $1 billion on the franchise that is The Conjuring and Annabelle movies and all the other spinoffs, so, and their combined budget's probably $100 million for all of them.
Yeah, no, they've done a good job of producing good films on minor budgets.
Yeah.
I don't want to say low budgets because they're definitely not low budget, but they certainly make the best use of the money they have.
Yeah, well, they've done some really great micro budget ones too. So they know it's creating tone and tension is key, and then spending your money in the right places. They're very good at it.
And they recognize their mistakes really well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, you look at the Conjuring universe, there are, I would say, just as many good ones as mediocre to bad ones, but
I agree, but they always come back from them.
Yeah,
right? It's like the first Annabelle I found was pretty weak, but came back with this, and they went, you know what? There's something still good there. We're gonna fix
and that
it.
Third one's looking pretty strong as well.
Exactly, and that's what I mean by recognizing their mistakes. Right?
But you know, the Nun, they got some work to do there, I think, and apparently the Curse of La Llorona is also one of those meh ones, but I think that's just a standalone that probably won't get a sequel.
Well, you never know.
But you never know.
You never know, right?
It depends on the box office, honestly.
I mean, if they make their money back on it, you might, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's the beauty of it is it, and being a frugal company like Blumhouse is, they have those opportunities to say, okay, well, it didn't do that well, but there was enough interest that we can maybe
even they're not
build
well
it, right?
ones make money, so that's the beauty of it. Like, we've got something here that we think we can pull on that string and make better, and they usually make good on it, so we'll wait and see. I think Disney's not the only guys making animation to live action. We saw just a year or two ago Ghost in the Shell getting a live action remake from the anime. I think we'll cover
some
that
controversy.
I think we'll cover that fairly soon amongst some controversy. Every time an anime kind of gets done like that, the term cultural appropriation comes up, and it's a bit annoying, and I'm sure it'll happen with Attack on Titan, which is a great anime, by the way, and was made into a live action feature in Japan. They are circling it again. Andy Muschietti is currently working on that script. He'll be heading off to work on that movie after It Chapter 2. And it'll be interesting to see how that surfaces, because that's a really good story, and I'd like to actually see it done accurately to the manga and anime, because the majority of the cast aren't Japanese. The Japanese people have kind of almost been wiped out, and the remaining people have taken safety and refuge behind these giant walls, which I assume is Europe. There are a lot of German-sounding names on the show.
See, and that's where the cultural appropriation thing came in from Ghost in the Shell, too. And we'll talk about it in depth when we do that.
Yeah.
But the Japanese typically don't write... Most of their stories aren't about Japanese people. Mm-hmm. They tend to use Western characters or Westernized characters.
Yeah.
Right? That's appropriation in and of itself, right? So there's an irony there.
Yeah, it is. Of like, it goes both ways, guys. It's only North Americans who use the term, and it's the other. Everybody else don't give two shits about it.
All of our underwears are too tight. But at the same time, Waititi is actually working on Akira. Apparently, it's supposed to go into production this summer.
Akira's
and that was just
been bouncing around for years. I didn't know that was him, but yeah, there's been lots of people who have been attached to this at one point or another. Even Chris Nolan was circling the project, according to this article on Den of Geek. So
Waititi and DiCaprio. I just read an article from the 10th of April indicating that it is going into production this summer.
Okay, DiCaprio makes me happy. Waititi, not so, because we've never seen him work on something like this before. Like, yes, Thor Ragnarok, a lot of people enjoyed it. I was not among them. But there's still lots to like about that movie. And so there's a lot of humor and weirdness in there alike. And I think he'll be fine with the weirdness of Akira.
Yeah.
But it's not a happy movie. I don't want to see that turned into a comedy.
No, and it would be nice to see how he handles darker material. Mm-hmm. Certainly visually, I think he's got the eye to capture that translate that animated look to a live action.
I think he's got the eye for that for sure. But, you know, you just look again at Jordan Peele, and here's a guy who, if I would have only had his Key and Peele stuff to work from, I would have never thought this is the guy who did Get Out. Well, right?
And that's the funny thing is when they said he was doing a horror, I'm like, Get Out. Right? Seriously? Right? But the funny thing is horror and comedy tend to go hand in hand because comedy has this dark side that a lot of comedians don't get to explore. So I think that it works really well that he's transferred over, and he obviously has a deep love for it, and he really likes making you think, right? And that's good comedy does that too. So I can see how it could translate fairly well.
Yeah. Now the more I think about it, I think he'll be all right. I like some of his indie film stuff, and I like the quirkiness of it, and maybe his flavor will work with that. I don't know. Inevitably, you got to figure Batman is probably on the pike at some point. Another Japanese movie that's coming is Big Man in Japan.
Yes.
That I'm just kind of looking forward to. I think that's coming pretty quick, though. I think it's done.
Well, yeah, I think you've mentioned it before.
Yeah. And I don't know. We haven't heard any movement on Big Trouble in Little China with The Rock. But
And that one's not really a remake. That one is it's not even a reboot. It's from what I understand.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that they're taking a different direction, kind of like they did with Jumanji. Is they're kind of working into that universe, but not making it the same.
Well, that's probably wise. I mean, Jumanji, it's still kind of a remaking, reworking of the movie. These are what I call stealth remakes. Well, it's kind of a sequel, but really it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Right. Well,
Star Wars has been guilty of it too, so certain. Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, they're all guilty of it, but I like it when they acknowledge the originals and say, well, it's basically saying it's not the original, we're in the same universe. You're getting essentially the same story, but it's not the same story.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I prefer they do it that way than calling it an outright remake.
Yeah.
I'm still interested to see it, but, you know, I'm getting rocklash.
Is that a word we can coin?
I'm
rocklash.
Rocklash. I really am, because the guy's in everything, and I know that we deliberately try not to cast him in the big hero guy role because he's in fucking everything.
Yeah, it is true, and you can tell there's a little bit of audience fatigue. I don't think Skyscraper did too terribly well.
Noted Rampage.
Yeah, and I think there's certain character types that people have certainly glommed onto. I'm interested to see how his kind of Fast and the Furious spinoff is going to do this year.
That one, I suspect, will probably do reasonably well, at least at the Bell, just because it's part of a universe and a character that they know and love already.
Mm-hmm.
He has made some questionable choices in terms of what he's going to do. Is sometimes it feels like The Rock works for the sake of working.
Right? Yeah, I don't think he sleeps all.
But yeah, because he's made some questionable choices. Like when I saw that he was attached to something, I'm like, oh, you're just doing that because you want to be working, not because you're...
Yeah, his figure's in so many pies. Yeah. And I think he just, at this point, at least at this point of his life, slowing down isn't really something he wants to do.
He's got a finite lifespan, to be honest with you. He's at least at the rate he's going, mm-hmm. because he plays a very specific type of character, and it's hard to see him in anything else.
Well, he's still very active as a producer as well in other projects, whether it's television, and then there was that recent Wrestling with My Family biopic loosely based on Paige's life in the WWE. So, and he was in it, but he would have been around the WWE at the time, so it just makes sense he would have been in it. You know, that's one of those things where let's do a smaller project. Again, yeah, it really is just to keep busy, but I think he's realizing as well that it doesn't always have to be in front of the camera.
No, and that's a good way to go because, like I said, action stars, I mean, you don't want to be Stallone and Willis and Schwarzenegger where you're constantly having to reinvent yourself at 70,
mm-hmm.
right, as a believable action star. I mean, Stallone's done a great job with the Creed movies, bringing himself into the support roles and so on. Schwarzenegger's done a really good job by taking these lower key roles, like the zombie movie. His name now escapes me, with his daughter, with the zombie daughter.
Oh, I'll say May, but that's not it.
That's not it. That's terrible. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it's terrible. It is, because it was really good.
It was really good. And a lot of the stuff he's been doing is, it's less action and more sort of, I wouldn't say drama, but less heavy on the action and more on tension, and he's done a good job of that, but it's not easy, right? And not everybody's going to have that opportunity. And I'll be honest with you, I love The Rock for the character he plays, but he essentially plays the same character, right? I don't know that if he has that same depth.
Yeah, that's one of those we'll have to wait and see, I guess. another big trend we're probably going to wind up seeing is a lot of 90s remakes.
There's a few on the list here. Certainly Ace Ventura is still on there. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you need to remake this?
They're shopping around, but I don't think anybody's really interested in doing it. I mean, with that, that's one of those cases where you can't really do that without the original actors.
No, you can. I mean, when you look at Dumb and Dumber, the prequel to Dumb and Dumber, it just didn't work. It flopped.
Because if you don't got Jim Carrey, there's no Ace Ventura.
No, there isn't. And I mean, it's funny, if you read the Den of Geek article, Morgan Creek has sold off a lot of their rights, except there, but they're hanging on tooth and nail to Ace Ventura, and I'm like, why?
Yeah,
it's not going to revitalize your company.
No, it won't.
You cannot put all your eggs into a 90s comedy that did extremely well, but comedies, there's no guarantees with comedy, right? Well, there's no guarantees with any movie, to be honest, but certainly with that property, that's a risky, risky proposition to relying on that to save your company.
Well, another company that folded a long, long time ago, we've talked about their movies before, was Canon, and one of their best properties was Bloodsport.
Oh, fuck, why?
I love that movie so much.
Oh, I do too.
But there's nothing there. I'm like, it's a really easy movie to remake. Just make a lot of cool martial arts to watch on screen and film it.
Yeah, and some of the rhetoric on it is they're trying to make it more character driven and less reliant on the action. But it's like, this story is an action story. It's about a martial arts tournament. You can't deny that.
What about Savage Helicopters in the Sky, Blue Thunder?
I wanted to do this one, and then it showed up on the fucking list.
We can still do it. Yeah. Most of these are, you know, who knows if they're ever going to get fucking made.
Well, they're going to do Blue Thunder with a drone. I'm like, well, I'm like, no.
I'm already just, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
that's already upsets me.
Yeah, and that was me too. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Right? You lose half your story by making it a drone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I don't think we've ever talked about this. Richard Pryor's 1976 comedy Car Wash.
What? I'm kind of excited to see what they would do with that, because culture is so different now.
It is.
Right? So, because, I mean, Car Wash, you don't have the hand car wash like you did in the 70s.
I think the only thing anybody actually remembers is the theme song.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun movie.
The car wash.
Oh, please don't sing.
Okay. Charlie's Angels. Yeah, they're coming back.
Yeah, I think that one's a reboot. They're so desperate to make this property work. The first Charlie's Angels one with Drew Barrymore and et al. Was fun. I really enjoyed that. Second one, not so much. But then they had the failed TV series, and now they're back to the well again.
Yeah, and I mean, you've already lost me with Kirsten Stewart. But Naomi Scott and Ella Balinska? Patrick Stewart's also in this, apparently.
Oh, that might save it.
Yeah.
And you've got Elizabeth Banks, who I really think that she's done some really great things. I mean, I love the Pitch Perfect movies, at least the first two. But, and she's doing a great job producing and directing. And she's also a great actress. Like, she's a whole package person. But she's also very much into the comedic end of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in order to bring Charlie's Angels into the 2000s and the 2000s and 20s by the time this probably comes out, is you have to take the comedy out of it. It has to be light, but it can't be like comedic the way the Drew Barrymore ones were, right? Go back to that 70s feel where there's that lightness, but it's not...
I'd almost love to even just keep it as a 70s kind of, you can, that way it kind of plays to the campiness of it a little bit, but it still has that fun action with the crazy music and
exactly.
I like that.
I think that would be a better direction to go with it.
I would be totally on board with that. So, Cliffhanger's still on the list. We talked about it when we did our Cliffhanger episode. Clue's actually getting some movement now, and with Ryan Reynolds currently attached to a Clue remake.
Yeah, and that one's been on the docket for a couple of years now too. But I mean, Ryan Reynolds is busy, so you kind of give him he needs some time to get stuff done. But it sounds like they're just vaguely, barely basing it on. I mean, it's not a remake, I don't think, it's so much as a reimagining of, and they're using the name more than anything else.
Yeah, two more 90s movies, Clueless and The Craft, both up. Craft is starting to finally get some movement. We've talked about The Craft for a long, long time being on those lists, so I was actually just seeing some stuff recently about The Craft is finally getting some steam behind it. Yeah.
Now, and that one's another one that's more of a sequel than a remake, from what I understand. Or what I've been
reading.
That'd
be cool.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that, though. Like, okay, here's a sequel to a movie, but we're just going to call it the same thing.
Yeah.
And that makes it very confusing.
It does make it a little bit confusing.
Because it makes it sound like a remake.
Yeah. And apparently some of the original cast is supposed to come back, and it's all going to tie together. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just to see how they do that, like I said. But I guess one of those we'll wait and see kind of things.
Yeah. Now, Jason Momoa was recently attached to The Crow, but recent developments, I think even after this article was written, he has dropped out of that film, so who the hell knows?
Yeah, and I didn't even put that one on my little list here because that one is, for me, it's in development hell, and it has been for years.
It has been for years, and to be honest, I mean, you look at all the stuff that came after. Everybody loves The Crow, but really everybody only loves the first one.
Yes.
And they just kind of tolerate the existence of the rest of them.
Well, and that's because the first one is so good, and it's based on the original book, and it's... I wouldn't say it's accurate to the original book so much, but it keeps the core story, and it's so beautifully done.
Yeah. Cube is up for a remake, and I'm sure we've mentioned that before. Cube, I mean, it's such a easy film to do. It's like this ingenious little horror thriller, one location, single room kind of thing, almost, where you're moving from trap to trap. It's just a giant Saw movie, really.
It is.
Yeah, it was really out there before anybody else got into that torture genre.
And I mean, and the thing is it's the beauty of Cube, aside from being Canadian, is that it's science fiction, it's horror, it's adventure. It has all those wonderful elements, and it's all in one neat little package and done so well on such a small budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, they literally reused the same set for everything. It was just so ingenious.
Yeah, right? No, it was great. It's one of those things that was mentioned to us when I was going through film school, and I'm like, it's one of those things you just hate because it's like, fuck, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. And how do I come up with an idea that
exactly
that good?
And that's the kind of achievable thing that they show to film students. Bottle Rocket was another one that if you got a good mind and you've got a good idea of how that camera moves, man, now you just got to figure out how to do it, and sky's the limit. Das Boot up for another kick at the cat as well. That one could be a tricky one because, I mean, Wolfgang Peterson, that's going to be a tough movie to top.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that they're talking about possibly like TV miniseries rather than a feature film.
Right.
To give it some more depth, right? Because it is based on a book.
Yeah, and I think that would do well, and then I don't have to talk about it because we won't cover television.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually keeping my fingers crossed because while Das Boot is amazing, is not one of those things I ever want to watch again.
Apparently, Doctor Who's Chris Addison is attached to direct another remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which itself was a remake of Bedtime Stories from 1964, which we covered in an older episode. I kind of want to see this happen just so I could do an update in an old episode.
Yeah.
I could just say, here's the update to an episode, addendum to episode whatever. I'm not going to go through this list just to find all the connective tissue.
There are quite a few here.
Yeah.
Right. And Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, I mean, they're doing the gender reversal. I think it could work with this particular film because it doesn't have to be. I mean, the roles are not gender specific. They don't don't have to be. Right? I mean, we talk about just the feminizing films and gender reversals, and we do it ourselves sometimes when we remake because it makes sense or it works really well. This is one of those ones where I'd say it does work really well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
or could work really well.
But there is a gender swapped version of this movie already.
Yeah, it's the one with Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sigourney Weaver. Yeah,
yeah.
But it wasn't it wasn't as outright blatant that it's saying, "Hey, we're a remake of this," right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody said it, but yeah.
And it was a mother-daughter rather than kind of situation. Yeah. But it certainly took all of its inspiration from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a pretty good movie in and of itself. Yeah. Don't Look Now, up for a remake, the horror classic by Nicholas Roeg from 1973. I've even thought about doing it on the show at one point. But just seeing Donald Sutherland going... who isn't really impressed with the remake and calls a reboot shameful.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, maybe I'll leave it alone because I have too much respect for Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with you. And I mean, it is Nicholas Roeg, but I mean, we've done some of his stuff. And I mean, when you talk about Man Who Fell to Earth, which is, I'll have to be honest with you, probably one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. I mean, that movie is still mind-boggling.
There's been quite a bit of casting on a Dune remake lately. I don't have even some of the full specifics because there's been a lot going on as of recently.
There hasn't. And I mean, when you've got Denis Villeneuve associated with it, you know that no matter what, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. Now, Timothy Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name, because I love that movie. God damn it. Is also attached to this with Rebecca Ferguson from Mission Impossible Fallout. I do love her. Actually, I think Timothée Chalamet is an incredibly talented young man. I just don't like that movie. So I'm not going to take it away from him. He's a really good actor.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, they are planning to split this into two films, which is wise. There's a lot of content and... even the prior version, as interesting as it was dizzying to watch because there's so much information being thrust at you at any given time.
Yeah, I recently rewatched it, not knowing about the remake until after I'd watched it, which happens. Mm-hmm. But I've always had fond memories of it, and I had read the first book. There's lots missing, but the core story is definitely there. But it's not an easy watch, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, shit, I was planning to do this one for the show.
And the Entity?
No, yes, that's it, The Entity. Yeah. Sydney Fury's 1983 horror, The Entity. Looks like it's on the Blumhouse desk. And James Wan.
Yes.
Oh, that could be really good.
Yeah. No, and I actually made a note there. He's actually associated with two...
I'm guessing...
remakes right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, he... it's interesting that he's attached to that as a director. I have a feeling that might change because he's in such high demand on bigger movies now. I mean, moved on to other big franchises. So Entity feels like almost going backwards.
But at the same time, he may want to maybe go, you know what? I need to do something different.
Go back to my roots a bit.
Yeah. It's entirely possible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see this, Escape from New York.
I didn't even put that one on my list. Yeah. But it's moving forward, apparently.
Yeah, well, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, and that gives me a little bit of faith.
Although Charlie Hunnam doesn't.
I like Charlie Hunnam.
I do too, but I don't know, everything kind of falls flat when I watch him, so I don't know, maybe he's just picking bad projects.
I mean, I haven't seen The Lost City of Z yet. It's one of those movies that I kind of like, I should watch that, but I haven't gotten around to it. And I mean,
I think he's only one of, it looks like he's... one of the choices for Snake Plissken. John Bernthal and Dan Stevens both are also in consideration for that role, to be honest. And both the last two, John Bernthal and Dan Stevens, interest me more.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Charlie Hunnam's a talented actor, but I think he needs to move away from, because he's been doing all these sort of action roles, and he's actually more of a dramatic actor. Like, even when you watch Sons of Anarchy, there's not a lot of action in that. It's character driven, and I think he needs more of those roles.
This one upsets me. Wrong Turn, Clyde.
Yeah,
Every Which Way But Loose. I really love this movie. I mean, I'm sure you feel almost the same way. We both love Clint Eastwood movies.
Yes.
And to see this on the list, will this work? I mean, this isn't even really one of Clint's better recognized movies, despite the fact that it does have a sequel.
Yes.
I mean, I really enjoyed it as a kid.
I still enjoy it. I actually watch it, I wouldn't say regularly, but every few years I go back and I feel like a Clint Eastwood comedy because he doesn't do very many.
Just seeing the picture, I want to rewatch it. So.
Yes, I know exactly. I'm like, aw.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood and a monkey. Yeah. I don't know how this is going to go without, like, I don't know. That's going to take some careful casting. Doesn't like look like there's really much movement on this right now, so I wouldn't worry about it anytime soon. Yeah. And maybe we'll get to it before they do and help them out.
Yeah, could, possibly. Yeah.
Fantastic Voyage has been on this list for quite a while. Looks like Guillermo del Toro is in talks to direct, but he's in talks to direct everything. And the script is by David Goyer, responsible for a lot of the Batman movies and superhero movies you've seen, the Blade franchise as well, so he's associated a lot of stuff. It does make me a little worried that it's going to be more concentrated as an action film rather than
the science kind of adventure film, yeah.
The science adventure film that it was, yeah.
And we've talked about this before. We can argue that it's already being remade with Inner Space to a certain extent.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah. We've always knocked around doing the episode, like, do we compare it to Inner Space or do we try to remake it? Both would be our appealing ideas for us. So.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? We'll see what happens with this one, but it'd be kind of fun to do, maybe even do both, do the remake and then remake it ourselves. But with it being on the docket as of right now, we'll see.
We'll see. I try not to let these lists scare me away. Stephen King, of course, we've talked about a lot of stuff, and I don't think we mentioned when we were talking about Stephen King that Firestarter was also on that list, but that would be a good one to do.
I think that that's one that could use an update for sure.
Yeah, and it's another Blumhouse.
Yeah, and that one's an interesting one because that of all of his early works, that one's the least horror of them. It's really is more of an action adventure with a few horror elements, and it just shows how diverse Stephen King was even early in his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got pigeonholed as a horror writer, but he's written stuff that's not horror.
One that I keep hoping will happen, and it just keeps jumping around and jumping around, and currently now Julius Avery, Overlord director, is attached to do Flash Gordon. And it's been around the pike a lot. There's so many names that have been attached to this as directors. At one point, Matthew Vaughn was attached. I want to see Flash Gordon back on my screen. I don't think this will actually be a remake. It will probably take the beats, much like the more campy version did from the newspaper strips. But I think they'll probably want to turn this into a more fun action-adventure science fiction film.
The way it should be. Definitely the way it should be. But yeah, I don't anticipate that it's an actual remake so much as, again, a reboot or a reimagining.
Yeah. We've talked about doing Flight of the Navigator before, and it's been on the docket for quite some time, so I'm not going to really talk too much about it because I don't believe it's moved at all, and no, I think we'll get to it before they do. But The Fly upsets me.
Yes. Already on the list there. Mind-boggling.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it's been almost 30 years since they last did it.
Yeah, but when you have a masterpiece like Cronenberg's, it's like, why would you do it?
Right, like, and yeah, what will you do here? I mean, you don't want to go the body horror route again because you're not going to do it properly. You're not going to do what Cronenberg did. I'm not sure what you're going to do with it. I mean, the Vincent Price one's a little flat by today's standards. So, but, you know, to lean into the science fiction film part of it would probably be fun.
That might be an angle because they need to do something different for sure. There's no question.
Yeah, it looks like they don't have much going on it with yet. J.D. Dillard is currently attached to direct, and his debut film was Slight fairly recently, so we'll see.
Well, somebody's putting a lot of faith in him.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Friday the 13th is in the works as well.
And that's the one that's been on the list for a long time, mind you.
Yeah. Oh, looks like The Fugitive's going back into production. That's interesting. I mean, the Harrison Ford film based on the television series was really good, so
it was, and it captured all the right elements from the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, that it's one of those ones where it's like, how do you think you're going to improve on that?
Yeah, Anne and Arnold Copelson are set to direct this one, and the script is by Christina Hodson. Not much more than that. It's through Warner. I guess we'll have to see. It doesn't look like there's any talent currently attached to that, and that's going to be key. Like, it's got to be somebody we can get behind to being hunted in the first place. But is it, like, I guess that was a bit of a 90s film. Is it too soon? I don't know.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say unless they're going that gender reversal road again, which could make it interesting in and of itself to see that sort of chase theme with a female fugitive. Mm. I might actually be able to get behind that.
I'm sure DC's looking at Green Lantern again at some point. That won't be a remake. It'll be a reboot and reimagining, so I'm not even going to go into that too much. And I'm sure we'll do some superhero special down the road and talk more in length with Carlos coming back at some point. And he'll bully me into doing another one of those at some point. So,
yeah, probably.
Do it or I'll shoot you. Gremlins, we've heard that talked about a few times. I don't know if I want to see a remake and just bring them back. Like,
well, and that if you read further down that article, I think they're talking about how it would be again a reboot more than a remake.
I would just rather have a new outbreak of Gremlins happening.
I don't want to say new batch because that's already been done.
Right? Yeah, exactly. The new outbreak. It sounds like a virus, but you can kind of treat it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a great family franchise that is ripe with revival opportunities. Just create new Gremlins to get behind, a new Mogwai that the kids will find cute and buy the toys and merchandise shit out of. But I don't feel like they should retread on the old film. They mentioned Goonies here too, so.
Well, and that's been on.
I think that's more of a planned sequel with the adult versions of that those kids.
Yeah, well, how ironic. Right now, as we record, most of the original cast is here in Calgary. They're here at Expo.
Back to the Future guys are.
No, Goonies is too. Sean Astin.
You could tell. Like, this
Corey
is,
Feldman.
Yeah.
And...
they are.
Data are all here.
It's interesting because I have been going to Calgary Expo. That's why my voice is a little deeper because I've been at Calgary Expo just fanboying it out. No, I didn't go in as press this year, sorry. And that would have made some good content, maybe another year, but I only get to do this once a year. So I'm just grabbing commissions and having some fun. And if you want to see all the stuff I've been gathering at Calgary Expo, it'll be over by the time you hear this, but you can hit up my Twitter feed at jbishop616 and you can see all the cool commissions I've been getting from the show.
But yeah, it's kind of funny that it is in there because, yeah, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised not only that we have the cast from Back to the Future here, but Goonies as well. So we've got some 80s icons invading our city as we speak.
Now, it's a little strange that we got another horror movie that's, I don't feel it's been that long since it came out. Sam Raimi is set to produce a new take on The Grudge, which in itself would be a remake of an American remake of a Japanese film, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, and Sam, I'm going to say this, Sam. Go back to doing stuff from your own head. You need to stop doing...
I like his original material so much better.
As do I, and I appreciate that you're trying to sort of diversify, but... But yeah, and I mean, his first Spider-Man was great.
Yeah, I mean, the last iteration, there were three films in that version of the franchise, and Betty Gilpin from Glow, of all places, is set to take the title role. I like the Grudge universe, but I think this might be too soon.
I'm with you on that one. If you're going to go back to that J-horror, there's still lots of stuff that hasn't been touched. Go back to that well and find something that has not been remade already.
Yeah. And they do have Highlander on this list, but I do mention that in our Highlander episode, and it doesn't look like much has changed there as of yet. So
they're talking about Dave Bautista as Kurgan.
They are indeed. Ryan Reynolds was talked about as maybe being the new Connor McLeod.
Thankfully,
he's left the project. So.
I love you, Ryan, but no.
But, I mean, it's still set to direct as Chad Stahelski from John Wick, so yeah.
I think it's in good hands if that actually proceeds as it stands right now.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned at the top of the episode The Howling, so we'll just skip by that. Another 90s one that is part of that bailiwick would be I Know What You Did Last Summer, based on the 1973 Lewis Duncan novel of the same name.
I don't necessarily object to this.
I don't either, like, and especially when I see a name like Mike Flanagan attached to this.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so there's this one, because it's, I mean, it was a popular semi-franchise, it did spawn a sequel. But it's not one of those sort of iconic films Mm-hmm. And I think that you could have a lot of fun with bringing it up to date again and maybe going back to source material to find what was missing from the original movie. I mean, it's such a simple story, but it works so well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really that based on urban legend type of story. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I like the lineup. I've never seen a bad Mike Flanagan movie ever.
Yeah.
I worry that this is probably going to die on the vine, mainly because Flanagan's pretty busy already, and with Netflix having real success with his House on Haunted Hill series.
Yes. Yeah, it's... You never know. If you look at this list, there's a lot of duplicate names on there being attached to these properties. So, and we know this list is not entirely up to date, so some of them may have already dropped out, some names may have changed. But yeah, with that combination, I don't totally object to this idea.
And hey, I'm willing to wait if they just want to find a hole that it fits in. Jacob's Ladder's been getting some movement again as well. I think we're still a couple years away from it, though, but I've been hearing some stuff about Jacob's Ladder, and that's going to be a toughie because it's a crazy psychological horror movie from 91, and it's going to be a tough one to remake in general. I mean, casting-wise, it's probably going to be okay. I mean, Tim Robbins is a great actor, don't get me wrong, but there's lots of talented actors that I think can deliver as strong of a performance.
Oh, for sure. This is another one I don't necessarily object to, and it's actually one that I kept sort of wanting to mention as something we should do, because it's one of those movies that is so dense, and it's a royal head fuck all the way through it. So there's an opportunity there to make it a little more coherent.
Yeah, and I don't think it was like overly successful. It was not. Very well revered within the horror circles. I mean, for very good reasons. And hopefully, I think it has a cult status at this point. But I don't think the mainstream's very aware of it.
No, because it is one of those movies that is very challenging to watch.
Yeah.
And not because it's graphic or anything like that. It's just there's so many little things that you have to be paying attention to really come out satisfied at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it took me two watches to go, okay, I see what they were doing there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you want to tag into a mainstream audience, you really want to be able to walk out going, okay, that was really fucking cool. My head hurts. Mm-hmm. But it was really fucking cool, and I got it. And I don't think the original quite got people there.
No, I agree. License to Drive, 1988. Speaking of Corey Feldman, and that was the Corey's movie.
It was one of their many partnerships.
Mm. And who was Heather Graham, right?
Heather Graham, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, that was a while ago. It's hard to think that Heather Graham's career stretched that far back, but... Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that was late 80s.
88.
Yeah.
New script is being written by Alicia Bromfey and Scott Miles. John Davis is producing the film, but no director has currently been attached. I think this would be a good one to do, though.
Yeah, I think so. And this is another one where I read that they are talking about placing the Coreys with two female characters.
Right.
Again, doing the gender reversal. And there's another one where I don't object to that.
No, I think it'd work just fine that way.
Yeah, I think that it works very well.
I mean, it really is just a couple of goofy kids stealing a car for a night on town. So changing the gender isn't really going to change the fun of that.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You did skip over League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I did, because we kind of mentioned it before and nothing's really happening there. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I mean, I love the Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill graphic novels and... It's not going to be a remake. It's going to be a reboot and hopefully closer to the material. And from what I'm reading, they still want to do it with a more female-centric thing. And I don't like it when they use that term, but Mina is the core character
of that
story. And that I do prefer. I just don't like the way they phrase this.
No, exactly.
Like, it makes it sound like, oh, well, we're going to do this with all historical female characters. No, I'm hopefully not. I want this to still be the Alan Moore story. I want to be the Alan Moore story. So, like, you know, Sean Connery, who he played
Alan Quartermain,
but in that story, he was like old and burnt out and a fucking drug addict.
Yes.
I'm like, none of that's in the movie, but holy shit, just that, saying that stuff out loud. I'm like, now that's interesting. And one of the first recruits of Mina, who's trying to put this group together.
Yeah.
And it's Mina who has already met Dracula and been bitten, that's spearheading the creation of this league.
Yeah. No, and the original graphic novel is so good, and it's none of it's present in that movie. And I will say that I had a lot of fun with the movie, but it's definitely not a good representation of the source material.
No, it isn't. I mean, it's a fun movie to watch as a popcorn movie. It's not particularly good, but there's so much to actually enjoy within the action stuff that it makes it kind of like one of those mediocre guilty pleasures that you don't like to admit to people you like, but we do it on the podcast all the time, so it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Lilo and Stitch, among all the Disney stuff that's being remade, so into a live action. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I mean, I guess I'm okay with this because this was one of those things that Disney almost stuck in a closet of direct-to-video release, but yeah, it turned out so good because they were already had moved away into CG animation when this came out, and it just wound up being that good that they gave it a theatrical release, and of course we all fell in love with it. But they haven't really followed up with this, and it really bothers me that Disney doesn't do what we all know Disney for. They don't do it anymore. It's all CG animation. The storytelling quality is there in spades these days, but it's like nobody wants to go see an animated film, or at least they think that.
Yeah.
Speaking as a middle-aged man, I still love traditional animation, so I'm guessing I'm not the target audience they're going to listen to. But
of course, but yeah, the old style animation is still an art form, and you're still seeing filmmakers doing it, but there's small films or small studios that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of my other beef with Disney is they're going back to that, to their well with just doing these live action remakes when they were so good at doing original films.
I mean, Lilo and Stitch would lend itself pretty well because it is a lot less special effects work than remaking The Lion King.
Yeah.
Like, I would have just skipped over that. Like, The Lion King, that's a big one, but you don't need to go there right away. Well, it's almost like they're like, well, while people are interested, let's get the big ones out of the way.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense. You think you'd want to space those out and have one a year for a few years instead of going with your two biggest ones, two of your biggest films, Aladdin and Lion King, in the same year.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe your favorite, The Black Cauldron, is also on that list. But from what the recent developments I've heard, it's no longer going to get theatrical. It's probably going to move to the Disney Plus platform.
And they're saying that about Lilo and Stitch as well.
Okay. Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
I probably should have finished reading the article. But I'll see, that bugs me. Again, they don't have enough faith in their own property with Lilo and Stitch. I don't think they realize that how many people like that.
Well,
property.
I think that what Disney's doing is they've got all this stuff on the docket, and they're cranking it all out. And they're figuring, okay, well, and they're positioning it all. Right? They're going, okay, well, we're going to put this here, we're going to put this here, we're going to put this here, and we're going to release this in the theaters, and this is going there. I mean, I don't know that that's the best business model because they don't know how well Disney Plus is going to do.
Yeah, right? I suspect
it's probably going to do just fine because it's Disney.
It's going to be fine. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit before we get it into Canada, but which upsets me a bit. I mean, I would probably drop a streaming service off of my current list just to get that one because there's some good stuff coming to that platform, and it's more of a package too. Like Disney Plus, we think of it as a single Netflix thing, but I think there's the plan they're having, it's going to be tiers of a type of package. You can get Disney Plus or Plus 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 or Plus Plus Plus, so you can get the ESPN package and a few other Disney things, and maybe Hulu will be part of that.
Possibly, is it? Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm certainly interested to see how that plays out, and it looks like Warner's got a similar plan in mind as well. And the DC Universe streaming platform was only the beginning.
Yeah, which, it's funny, and I don't want to get into this because we're talking about remakes, but I do want to mention sort of how the streaming platforms are starting to turn into cable television.
Yeah, they're just cutting out cable, the cable middleman now. Yeah. That's the future, and it's unfortunate, but cable's going away, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you move to streaming services to get away from the $150 cable package, but they're tricking you into it now. Differently, you're going to pay for them separately instead of paying them for them as a package. Mm-hmm. But I could conceivably see people getting up to $150 a month in streaming services, right? Because there's so many coming available. And if you want to see something, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm kind of like, I got to think about it. I'm like picking and choosing my packages, and I'm like, oof, I'm not sure. Like, I think Netflix will be fine. They're so ahead of that curve right now. Yeah. But I worry for Amazon, who, yeah, they've trying to get in there, but they're moving too slow.
Yeah, possibly. And when you rely so heavily on licensing, as most of these licenses get pulled back to the parent company mm-hmm. for their streaming services, you're not going to have much of a library.
Yeah.
You're going to be Tubi.
Yeah, well, there you go. Disney, well, Little Mermaid's also on that Disney list. You guys know that already. Hamilton writer Lin-Manuel Miranda is teaming up with Disney and Alan Menken, who won an Oscar for his musical to the original Little Mermaid. So at least we know there'll be the songs will be the same, and we'll probably get some new songs from the same team. And Rob Marshall is currently set to direct, and he directed the Mary Poppins Returns and Chicago. This is going to be a big musical.
Yeah, I think it'll do fairly well. And it's one of my favorite Disney films, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Little Shop of Horrors. Coming back yet again for...
And that's all we need to say about that.
Yeah. I know we're in the minority, and I'm sure a lot of people argued about... Well, we still get arguments about us not liking the Little Shop of Horror remake, but in the musical. But we didn't fall in love with it. We all liked the original more.
Yes.
And that's fine. But I know we're also in the minority of that. I honestly don't care to see this again.
No, me either.
Little Women seems to be moving fairly fast as well.
I didn't even count that one because Little Women is a book.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's tricky when you're looking at...
I count it because we've done it, and we're going to do it again in the future. So it is a readaption of a book, but what do you think they did the last time? So, I mean, yes, everything's going to seem very familiar.
Yes.
And this is... I've lost count on these ones.
Exactly. And this one, because especially public domain books like that...
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to whether is it a remake or is it a readaptation, but it is what it is.
Lineup's impressive. Greta Gerwig is set to direct and write it, and she's fantastic. And she's already got Saoirse Ronan, Emma Watson, and Meryl Streep, along with Timothy Chalamet, who's getting busier by the second, and Florence Pugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a great cast, and mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure we will discuss it in depth at some point. But yeah, this was one where I'm like, it's tricky. It's one of those gray areas that we do cross into. You're right, but it's always tricky.
The on again, off again, but always on the list. Logan's Run.
Yeah,
we gave up on waiting for it for so long, and we did a very great episode about our own version of what a remake would look like, and maybe one day we'll actually get to see it, but. Who knows? Right now, it seems to change hands so often at this point that I'm giving up. I don't even want to read the article.
No.
It's like, it's not happening. It's never going to happen. Get it off the damn list. Kind of like Major League.
Yes.
So I'm just going to move past that because Major League's always been on that list too. I know we talked about Manhunt in our prior episode, so I'm not going to...
And that's been on the list for a few years. Development hell.
Maniac Cop. I mean, I've actually had some requests for us to do this as well. You know, it's kind of a cop horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird movie and would be really fun to do.
Yeah, well, and we know we can do that one because if you read further down the article, it does suggest that it's dead on the vine.
And it looked like Nicholas Winding Refn was attached as a producer at one point, but...
Not as director.
I'm not going to wait on it. Like, this might be a fun one to do later in the season. Yeah. So let us know if you guys want us to do Maniac Cop. That could be a fun one to do because we like to do weird.
Yes.
I doubt it's going to moving anytime soon because Westerns are quite dead. But The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance... Looks like it's being reimagined as an urban crime thriller in the vein of The Departed, The Town, and Mystic River. All right.
I think that's the one where they said they were reimagining them as... No, no, maybe that's Wild Bunch. That's Wild Bunch, never mind.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely, you can do that. We did it recently They Call Me Trinity.
Yeah.
So Westerns lend itself to other genres, and it could easily be a crime story. Yeah. So.
For sure.
Master of the Universe, it seems to... We keep hearing stuff about it, and it sounds like things are moving again recently, but haven't heard too much on casting and directors at this point, but it's one of those gets quiet, and then you start hearing about it again, and it goes quiet again. I think this is one of those big undertakings, because this is like, we all know how many toy characters there are, and we all remember the animated series, and how do you update that? You certainly don't want to do the canon film.
No, certainly. And the big thing with this one is, and I think this is a problem with Flash Gordon as well, is there's a lot of fond memories about the characters and in Flash Gordon.
And they don't want another gem fiasco.
Well, that, and the fact that it is part of public consciousness anymore. Right, because for our generation, yeah, sure, because with it, because we grew up with it, or we're tangentially are very aware of it. But for the younger audience, the target demographic for most of these movies,
yeah, like the last iteration as an animated series was in the early 2000s,
yeah, so,
and only ran for a couple of seasons. So, I mean, that is a good question.
Yeah, is there value in doing moving forward with it?
I mean, DC's been having some mild success with comic book stuff, but. Again, I think it's been pulling from the retro crowd, but the retro crowd's turning into 90s kids, not 80s kids. So that is also an issue. Now the prime demographic is moving to a generation that didn't have it.
Yeah.
So this could be a little ways away.
I'd like to
see it, because a big fantasy epic that's more closer to the lore, not just to the cartoon, but lore that's established elsewhere as well. Yeah. I think there's lots on the vine there and ripe for a story, and we've talked about it in length in our Masters of the Universe episodes, so go check it out. Does look like Warner wants to go back to the well on The Matrix, though. This is interesting.
Fuck them.
I love The Matrix.
Exactly.
The Wachowskis, like, I'm seeing TV series here, and that bugs me. I don't really want that, and you kind of almost have to reestablish everything.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to, probably not getting Keanu back for this, or anybody from the originals. No,
I mean, I actually, the idea of a TV series with different stories in the Matrix universe actually sounds more appealing to me than going back to the story we already know.
And that is more appealing to me. It's what I really liked about the Animatrix. This feels like a 10 years too late idea to me. So, I mean, I would probably watch more Matrix, but at this point, especially with the Wachowskis having a lot of misses as of late, I'm less than excited.
See, and that's the other thing I like about the TV series, is they're really good with long format stories.
Yeah.
Right? Like Sense8 was fucking amazing.
It really was.
Right?
It really long was. Format stories because didn't find their audience.
But they're so good at this dense storytelling that giving them more time to tell it works better for me.
Well, Memento's still on the list. I hope that never happens.
But they're really pushing it.
Yeah, I'm just baffled because it's not even that old.
It's not even that old, and it's a Nolan film, and he had a vision, and he told that vision extremely well.
Yeah,
right. How do you remake that and improve on it? If you're just doing a note for note remake, you know what? Just re-release the original.
Yeah, AMBI Pictures are bankrolling this thing, and they also bought the rights to Cruel Intentions, I Heart Huckabees, The Passion of the Christ, Rush, Robot and Frank, and Donnie Darko. I think they just bankrupted them themselves.
They did.
Like, none of those are remakeable.
Cruel Intentions is...
Cruel Intentions probably can.
And that one is on the docket. That one is not on our list, but it is on the docket. It's actually, that one, I think, has actually gone into production.
Like, how do you remake Passion of the Christ?
Why would you remake Passion of the Christ?
Why? Yeah. Maybe Robot and Frank, just because I don't know what the fuck it is. If I don't know what it is, then maybe it's worth remaking.
There we go. But
Mortal Kombat, do it, man. Yeah. Like, I think everybody's ready. The video games are selling like hotcakes again. James Wan's attached to this somehow. I doubt, like they say director, but I doubt that's going to happen. I think he'll be more of a producing role because he's too busy to bother with something like Mortal Kombat. But you know what? Make this gritty. Make this dark and adult. The last iterations that they did in film were great, but they made them too kid-friendly. This is not a kid-friendly video game. Why would you make it a kid-friendly film?
Exactly.
Gritty it up. It should be like action horror movie, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So we'll see if that happens. Oh, more Disney. Mulan.
Yes, and right below that, Sony's Mulan.
Oh, what is happening? Well, that is interesting. We have dueling Mulans.
Yes.
You know what? I'd rather see Sony animated than live action, given how well they did with Spider-Man.
Yeah, you've got a point there. But yeah, they're not remaking.
These are both set as live action films.
They are, they're going to the original story, not the Disneyized version.
Yeah, no. So Disney will remake their animated film, and it'll be cutesy and fun. And then we'll probably get the Sony more gritty to the Chinese legend.
Yeah, which is the one I'm more interested in.
Yeah,
I mean, I like the Disney of Mulan, but yeah, I'm more interested in seeing a truer telling of the story,
mm-hmm.
as we understand it.
Yeah, we've kind of teased maybe talking about this at one point for an episode, but Frank Drebin could come back, but I don't know how you could make Naked Gun work without Leslie Nielsen.
Well, and if you read the article there, I think they're bringing it back without, it's not a Frank Drebin story, mm-hmm. it's more of a reboot of the Naked Gun story, or universe, I guess it was.
Yeah, well, looks like Ed Helms is playing a relative to Leslie Nielsen's Frank Drebin, so he would be a Drebin.
But yeah, not Frank. They're saying more like Vacation, where it's a continuation of it and that reboots the whole series.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's Freddy Krueger back on the docket. You know, it's another one of those horror franchises. We all love it, but is it going to work without Robert Englund? He might have one more in him because he's appeared in the makeup recently for, what was the series? The Goldbergs? I want to say.
It was Goldbergs.
Yeah. So I get the feeling like he's got maybe one more in him.
But is that going to serve the purpose of remaking it and hopefully rebooting the franchise?
Yeah. Well, this is how I felt about Halloween. Like, is this rebooting the franchise or just closing it off?
Yeah.
Because that's what it felt like. It felt like we were closing it down.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't even a good idea. And if they go that route, then thumbs up. If they're going to reboot it, they need to recast. And you know what? I'm sorry, but Jackie Earle Haley had the potential to be a great Freddy Krueger. He was ill-served by that film.
I agree. I honestly think they should just use him again, but try to go back to the mold that made it work.
Yes.
That's just me. I can understand why they'd want to distance themselves from that film.
Of course.
Hey, 1922's classic silent film Nosferatu. Yeah, that could be. It's been a minute.
Yeah, but why?
I wouldn't mind a nice gothic horror, but at the same time, I don't think we're going to get much better than Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, and that's all it is. Nosferatu was an unlicensed Dracula adaptation.
Yeah, and then you also had the Willem Dafoe film where they've shot the filming of Nosferatu, which was so much fun.
It was very good. As much as I'd be fine with it, but I maybe not. Although it is Robert Eggers who did The Witch, which was really something else to behold. But I'm not sure how much interest he would have. He seems to like his original projects and being a little different, and he's more of an auteur.
Yeah, and I mean, Nosferatu lends itself to that type of storytelling and filmmaking, though.
Yeah.
Right, which might be why he would be interested.
Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, they're talking reboot, and sometimes they talk, well, let's just do another one. I don't know. At this point, just give it a rest, guys.
Yeah.
If people are stopping going right now, rebooting isn't going to change anything. Just give it a rest. And if you do, the one thing that bothers me about that franchise is you had your trilogy. You should have been telling new stories and setting up new characters.
Yes.
And let that lie. And done like Star Wars, I'm like, okay, here's that first trilogy. Now here's some new characters.
And here's your next generation.
New stories with new characters, and never the two shall meet.
And even what they're doing with the MCU, right? I mean, they're already talking about phasing out some of the characters and bringing in new characters, right?
Bringing new
people in those roles as variations of the characters and that kind of thing, right?
I mean, out of necessity, let's face it, actors get older. Comic characters do not, but it's going to be a necessity now. I mean, they've been doing those films for a decade and 22 movies, and contracts are up. Some people will come back, some won't. But it's funny. Somebody did bring up an idea okay, Stanley's gone. There are no more cameos to do. I'm sure we'll see his face in posters and stuff within the films as Easter eggs. But who's to say, okay, these actors who don't want to come back, but we could still have Robert Downey Jr. doing a walk-on role, acknowledging that Tony Stark is still out there.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
And there's nothing wrong with doing that, because I mean, even in the comic books, so many of them change, and they have different people in the costumes and so on, right? So yeah, it works.
Yeah. We mentioned Private Benjamin before. It doesn't look like anything's happening with that, so I will just skip by it. And we've also mentioned Pumpkinhead before. We've actually done a Pumpkinhead episode, and we had a lot of fun with that. I still think there's lots here that can be worked with. It looks like some of the Saw executive producers have picked up the rights to this. So we'll see. That could happen. Make it good. I'm willing to wait for people to make it good. They have Rabbit on this list. It's made. It's done. It's out there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been released in North America, but it has been released in the UK.
It has, yes. Yeah. So it's right around the corner. The Saska sisters have done it. When we get a chance to get our hands on it, we will talk about it.
Yeah, and they've gone on record saying that they would like to do Dead Ringers as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not Cronenberg's favorite people right now, because he's pretty dead set against these kind of things of his properties, but I'm interested to see how well they do. Yeah. I don't know. I've liked their films in the past. I've not liked some of their films in the past. So it depends on which twins we're getting here. The ones that made American Mary, I'm all for. The ones that made Seen No Evil 2,
yeah,
not so much.
Not so much. No. Oh, that was a director-for-hire movie for sure.
Yeah. Red Sonja still on the list. I doubt anything's anymore. Happening.
Brian Singer's associated with that, so it's...
Oh, that's right. Brian Singer.
Yeah.
The controversy.
Yeah,
so... Yeah, it probably won't happen anytime soon. Robert Rodriguez was attached to it before that, but yeah, you're right. Probably not happening anytime soon.
Yep.
It looks like they're going to want to reboot Resident Evil, but it's
another reboot for sure.
Yeah, I just let it rest for a while, guys.
Yeah,
seriously, don't. You had a long run with those, and to date, nobody has said this is a successful video game film. At least not one that resonates very well.
Yeah,
I enjoyed what they did. They tried something different, and it went fucking off the rails.
Yes,
but obviously made money because they kept making them. But I'd rather like make something good that's going to last and just sit on it for a while, let it rest, give it some breath. Roadhouse has been on this list for a while too. And
it's dead on the vine.
It must be. Ronda Rousey's over at the WWE now, and like they wanted to do it with her at one point, and I guess they could still can, but I think that is over and done with. As soon as Ronda Rousey lost that first match, the Roadhouse died.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That is pretty much it. Now, I mean, with her regaining popularity with her WWE stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it maybe coming back, but I went looking specifically on this one because I'm like, what the heck is happening with that? And the last piece of news on it was in 2015. That tells me dead.
I honestly, as soon as she lost her first match, I'm like, no Roadhouse movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scarface is in fairly active production, and we could be seeing that in the next couple of years. But people seem to be coming and going from that project a lot. I mean, it's a toughie to do. It was the one everybody remembers as a classic is a remake.
Yes.
Brian De Palma's 83 is a remake of a 1932 film by Howard Hawks. So, I mean, this is some big shoes to fill. And again, they're changing the setting on this one again.
Yeah, they're moving it to L.A. instead of Florida, I think, mm-hmm. in this one. Which is fine. I mean, if they're doing something new with it, then...
Yeah, and Anton Fuqua is attached to this. And
so, I mean, he makes great films.
He certainly does. So we could be seeing this sooner rather than later. And same with Shaft. We know that's coming pretty quick.
The trailers are already out. And that was just announced in the fall.
Yeah, like they got that thing moving.
Yeah. It's a continuation of the
Sam Jackson one?
Yeah, yeah, because, he's actually in it as Shaft.
Yeah.
And he's the nephew of the original Shaft. So I think that that's a good way to go with it.
Right.
Is make it an all-in-the-family kind of thing. And they've done the gender reversal. It sounds like the new Shaft is, the lead character is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So that could make for a fun story.
I'm sure we mentioned Short Circuit in our last one. I seem to remember us talking about it. So obviously things aren't really moving there. You know, with other live-action, animation to live-action, Shrek, do you think that might work?
No.
No, it looks like a reboot is on the horizon, but doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon. But it does look like they're talking about it.
And the same thing is, it's not a remake. Or, I mean, I can see it being a reboot because they're talking about the same voice cast.
Yeah, so I think they want to do more animation. So I think that this is more of a revival of the property rather than a remake. Although now that I say live action, I kind of want to see it.
You know what? That could be interesting. But by its very nature, it would be mostly CGI anyhow. But it would be fun to see those human characters played by humans. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Sister Act.
Well, I know why, because it's a
90s revival, man.
And it did really well recently as a stage play. And you know how they love doing that.
They do, indeed. Spawn's been in the talks for a reboot for quite some time. When Todd McFarlane was here at Calgary Expo a couple years ago, he was talking about being writer and director of that film, which was already a little worrisome because he's not a director. But doing it in a small, low-budget way of like $10 million, much like a Blumhouse film.
Yeah, well, I think it is Blumhouse, actually.
Maybe it is Blumhouse, yeah. I mean, could be a good pairing. It's funny how my speculator market in comics are just suddenly going crazy for Spawn when he said that. I'm like, hate to tell you guys, he's already got a movie and a animated television series. Yeah. Like, this isn't going to spark anything. And if anything, this sounds like something Spawn fans are going to hate. Because they're expecting their comic book, and Todd's set out to make a horror movie.
Yeah.
Hate to tell you guys, all you guys speculating over Spawn, you might as well just stop overpaying right now.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you right now, maybe this film will be good and successful for non-comic book readers, but it's going to piss off the comic book guys. And currently, it is Jamie Foxx and Jeremy Renner attached to this, so... there's some names.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I think if you read that article...
I don't know how they're going to do that for $10 million or those kind of names.
If you read further down, there's an agreement that nobody gets paid.
That was the last thing.
There's an agreement, right. And there's something in there saying that the studio is a pay-after play. Once it starts making money, that's when everybody gets paid.
Right. Again, that seems a little weird that those two would do that. Then again, neither one of them have found a lot of success as leads as of late.
That's true. And, you know, actors sometimes will do things because
they believe in the project. Yeah. That sounds like if they're attracting those kind of people, the script's probably pretty solid.
Yeah.
Which gives me some hope for that. I mean, I'm interested just when they said low-budget horror movie, I'm like, all right, because I'm already not interested in a remake of the original film. No. We did that. Let's do something else. I mean, that character and that property is versatile, so try something else. Yeah. Splash? Anyone want to see that?
Not really.
Mermaids? No. Especially with Channing Tatum?
Yeah, in the mermaid role.
Oh, fuck off. Next. Stargate. Oh, fuck off. Next.
Yeah, that one's it on the vine anyhow.
Good. Starship Troopers. You know, I've heard two things with this, that they were talking about rebooting it with a new cast and continuing on with the original film as a television series, because that's not confusing.
Not at all. I think that's the one, like I said, I read a lot of these articles, so they're starting to mesh together a little bit, but I think that one has, it is associated with the same people who did remake the last two Verhoevens with Total Recall and Robocop.
I do believe so, and they are looking something... as far as cinematically more faithful to the novel, because this one wasn't. But I think a lot of people mistook the Verhoeven film.
Yes.
I think after, 20-odd years, that film still looked really good.
I watched it not that long ago, and it's still fun. I love the book. It's the very first Heinlein book I ever read, so it's got a really resonates with me. And it is definitely not the book, but... I'm also a big fan of Verhoeven, and I knew what he was trying to do, so I really enjoyed it.
There are a couple Alfred Hitchcocks I saw on this list, Strangers on a Train and Birds.
Yeah.
Birds actually was announced fairly recently.
Yes, it was, yes. I don't know if that type of horror is going to resonate with people anymore. It's not...
Well, David Fincher's attached to Strangers on a Train, and I think he knows how to capture that kind of tone.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm thinking more specifically about the birds.
Yeah. The birds, it feels like old and kitschy, and if anything, that would be, you kind of lean into it as a horror comedy, like Arachnophobia, which is also on this list, by the way.
Yeah.
We talked about it, though.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Yeah. And I mean, environmental horror is a tricky genre.
Well, let's face it, it's like they're easy to remake because we still have birds, we still have spiders, you know, like those kind of things you can easily do. And they're just easy cash grabs.
They really are, yes.
But Birds, I just don't see the money there. Stranger on a Train, though, like I can see that being a good prestige piece.
For sure. And actually, even if it doesn't come to fruition, we need to do it anyhow, because Stranger on a Train and Throw Mama from the Train are the same movie.
Oh, okay. Guys, let us know if you want us to do that. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. Let us know if you want us to do that. Stuart Little, they're looking at bringing that one back.
I would love it if they went closer to the books. Because I read those books when I was a kid, and they were so much fun.
That was a very successful film franchise, and then I think they went into straight to video, wasn't
they? The third movie went straight to video, and it killed it, right? I mean, there's always a risk when you go straight to video, right?
I mean, it looks like Disney has also had Sword in the Stone on that list, but I think with other recent Excalibur-type movies, I think that's probably a long way off.
If you read the article, I think it's not Disney. I think it's somebody else.
Brian Cogman is attached to this with the writer-producer of Game of Thrones.
It's not Disney.
You're right. No, they are saying Disney is involved. Oh, okay. Juan Carlos Fresnan. It doesn't sound like one, though. Like, nope. The 28 Weeks Later guy is also attached to this.
So
this is very interesting.
Yeah, I know, If,
like, none of this sounds like Disney, and then you see Disney's name all over this.
Yeah.
This one's a little weird, because the animated film's really short, and if they want to go something a little more Arthurian, I mean, they can get behind it with the money of Disney and maybe release it under the Fox banner.
Yeah.
Because the people attached to this sounds like it's going to be a little darker and grittier. But we already had Guy Ritchie misstep on it, so maybe I'm guessing that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what Guy Ritchie was fucking doing there. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Terms of Endearment.
Moving on.
All right. The Thomas Crown Affair, which has already got two of them all fucking already.
Yeah.
At least. I think there's three. A second remake of the 1968 Steve McQueen. So, yes.
This will be the third one, yeah.
This will be the third one. I liked the second one. I've never seen the original. I do plan to do that for the show, so maybe we'll kind of try to time that if things start moving on it, but one way or the other, we'll wind up covering those other two.
Yeah.
But Michael B. Jordan, like now, with the way his career's blossomed, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Toxic Avenger!
That sounds like it might be dead on the vine.
That's too bad.
Yeah, because Schwarzenegger was attached to be in that.
Yeah, he was attached to a lot of things post his political career, but a lot of them haven't been made. Schwarzenegger in another Terminator movie. I don't really want it, but we're going to get it. Schwarzenegger in a Toxic Avengers movie. I don't want it at all. And Schwarzenegger doing King Conan. Fucking get off your ass and do it already.
Yes. Yeah. If there's a property he should be involved in, that is the one.
Do it before he's even too old to do that.
Yes.
Because he's still in incredible shape. Valley Girl. I'm sure that'll happen. I don't fucking care.
Already did. And it got really shelved, yes, because there's
it's that bad.
Well, no, because one of the actors in it was a YouTube star, and he got caught up in a controversy, and they pulled it because it was scheduled to be released a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
And it got yanked. It's sitting on a shelf, collecting dust.
All right, well, Valley Girl, you are a good paperweight.
Yes.
You did mention Van Helsing at the top of this, and unfortunately, that's a good one to remake because there's a lot of potential there that they just really fumbled. They crammed it so tight into that original film, and it was too much.
Yeah, there was way too much.
I mean, that screamed successful action monster franchise.
Yeah, but they used all their monsters up in the first movie.
They blew their wad in one go.
Yep.
It was face, neck, and chest. It's like all over the place. So gross. Yeah, go for it. Do it right this time. Who's in? Originally drafted by the John Spates from The Passengers and Eric Heiser of The Arrival.
So yeah, there's some redemption there.
Yeah. They were intending to bring it into the Dark Universe, but that would be a good place to kind of relaunch the Dark Universe. Take it out of modern, guys. We've talked about it before. I mean, this would be a great place to try again.
Yes.
But come on, just leave the toys on the shelf, like most of them, you know, like if you're going to go Van Helsing, it's one monster, one movie, and go to the next one, and you can set them up in B plots, but don't make them your
and
priority.
Crossover. That's crossover. What the whole point of a universe is.
Yeah. Well, they've talked about war games for a long, long time. I still think that's would be a good one to do.
Oh, with the way technology's gone and developed, I think that it's ripe for a really robust remake, yeah.
Yeah. Still doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon, unfortunately. But and I think the window for 80s retro movies is past, which hopefully will kill the remake of The Warriors.
Yeah, it's the guys who made the Crank movies are associated, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That does interest me.
And that's where I'm like, no, no, no. Oh, wait a minute. Like that, seriously, it's like, oh, you know, these guys might bring something really unique and interesting to it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think in the article says that they'd said it like 5 minutes into the future kind of thing. So it's relevant to today's audience. And I mean, certainly the demographic doesn't have the same reverence for this movie that we do.
Yeah.
Right. So it could be really interesting.
Yeah, you're right. Weird Science. Been also there, on that list, we have just listen to our episode of how we do it, but they are looking at remaking that with the 21 Drum Street people, which worries me some because I don't like those movies.
Yeah, but other audiences did, so yes. I think if you're going to touch a John Hughes franchise like that or a movie like that, going with people who seem to know what audiences want, that's a good way to go.
Yeah, I'm not their targeted audience on that one. Yeah, given 21 Jump Street, I'm probably not going to like that, but hey, give it a go. Again, 80s retro, I think you've missed your window. White Men Can't Jump on this list with the creator from Black-ish, making this at 20th Century Fox, Kenya Barris. Eh, could work. I mean, that's a 90s revival film. I mean, it could work for that audience. I don't know. I don't care. I enjoyed the original film, but with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, street ball is always relevant. I mean, people still love basketball. So bringing that story to a new audience, why not?
Mm-hmm. Well, you briefly mentioned the Wild Bunch remake, but I did not know it was being written and directed by Mel Gibson. So this is a fairly ambitious project for somebody whose career has taken a lapse as of the last few years, but he's making some good films. That's kind of been going more direct to video, streaming services and that sort of thing. But he's picking some good projects.
Well, I'm sorry, but Hacksaw Ridge, which was up for Academy Awards,
so he still knows how to do it.
And I think he's made the right choice to move away from being an actor and more to being a creator, because people are a lot more forgiving of him for that, right? They don't want to see him on screen, but they know he still can produce these great
films.
Yeah,
as an actor, things have not been going so well, although I would love to see him in the film. As a director, even if he's not in it, I think he'll do a good job with it. He'll be fucking bloody as hell.
Yes. Yeah, he's not afraid. He's not afraid to shock you.
Yeah. We already mentioned The Wolfman, so I'm just going to skip past that. Oh, God, they're talking about doing more Wrong Turn. Why would you even remake this? Like, the sequels are never fucking ending. Did anybody know there's like 5 sequels to that goddamn movie?
I did.
Because you read the article.
Yeah, well, and because Henry Rollins was in one of them.
And Henry was in 3, I want to say.
He was in 3, yes.
Yeah. That's as far as I went, and it was like, ugh.
Yeah, enough, right? Because, I mean, it didn't even give you the same villains. Like, it wasn't like you had a sort of recurring villain like the Jasons and
the
Freddies.
No, they just, for some reason, these poor kids kept running into mongoloid cannibal killers.
Yeah, and that was so much better done with Hills Have Eyes anyhow.
Yeah, this always was a pale version of that movie.
Yeah, the article suggests that they're trying to move away from the stranded car in the woods theme and do something a little bit different. But, I mean, how can you call it Wrong Turn if there's no car involved?
Right?
just saying.
Yeah, they're talking about a remake of Your Name. I'll be honest, I don't know what this is. Global box office success of 2017. It made over $350 million across the world. And looks like J.J. Abrams has picked this up. I'm guessing this was a very successful foreign film, but I don't know what this is. Yeah, it's an American live-action remake. It's funny that they don't tell me where it's from. Nice article, guys. I don't know. I guess I have no opinion on this because I don't know what it is, but we'll have to look into doing this if somebody like J.J. Abrams is behind this. There's a good chance we're going to see this sooner rather than later with Eric Heiserer. Again, we've mentioned earlier in this podcast from the Arrival setting to write the script for it. I guess adapt the script to it.
And I think you said live action remake because it appears to be an animated film.
American live action remake. Oh, it could be. Yes, this could be an animated film. Oh, that makes me wonder if this was like a Miyazaki or something. Japanese anime.
Hard to say.
I'll have to look into that one. If anybody knows more about Your Name, is excited about it, tell me why, because I don't know why.
There we go.
Why should I be excited about this movie? JJ being attached to it makes it sound like it's going to be a genre movie of some sort. And bottom of the list, there's always one Zed, and this time it's Zorro. Given the prior successes of Zorro, I can see why they'd want to bring this back for another go. Not sure the timing's quite right on it, but I'd be totally fine with more Zorro.
You know, you kind of wonder where they would go with that, because, I mean, with the Antonio Banderas movies where he's...
Oh, no, they want to go post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Fuck off. No, I don't want it anymore. They do call it Zorro Reborn.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't want it. I just want... give me more Mad Max.
Well, exactly. You know what? If you're going to do Zorro, I think you retcon it and go right back to the original Zorro and use those original serials as your source material.
Yeah, as your template to build upon. There's so much good Zorro out there. Why would you ruin it with this garbage?
Exactly.
Kiersey Clemons is part of that cast, Dope Neighbors, and Gael Garcia Bernal. Also been cast for that. One of the co-writers was Jonas Karan from Gravity.
And all
now, at least the Lego pieces here are looking enticing.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing is the problem is when you get these A-list creators combined with A-list actors, it does... two things. One is it creates this expectation that you're going to get something worthwhile, right? But it also sets you up for a huge disappointment, right? And that's the balance. It's like, okay, well, we have to give them something that's watchable and enjoyable and potentially creates a franchise.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Well, that's ultimately they're hoping that none of these are going to be done in ones.
Yeah.
Often they are.
Yes. And I unfortunately have this feeling that that's what's going to happen with the Zorro Reborn.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that was the bottom of the list, but that is certainly not the end of it. There are certainly lots more remakes coming. Are there ones that you wanted to bring up that I did not?
No, I think you covered the entire list that we
not
have
bad.
Available to us. And we covered a few that aren't on the list yet. So
yeah, we covered that pretty good. Yeah. We're never going to stop, are we?
No.
That's all I'm getting from this episode is we got a long road to go.
There are 115 movies on this list. Now, we know that not all of them are going to get made.
Yeah.
And some of them we wouldn't cover because they're reboots, not remakes.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's still going to give us at least 2 years worth of material as it stands, not counting all the shit that we haven't covered yet.
Yeah. The chances are we'll give up before we ever be able to catch up to any of this.
Exactly.
And who knows? I mean, we're going to be good. We plan to go on this road a long time, and we certainly thank you guys for your support. This was admittedly a filler episode while I am down at Stampede Park going to the Calgary Expo and not having a lot of time to do other things and planning for episodes. But we'll be back to doing our usual stick next week. It is kind of fun to go into the list and, like, look at our future and go, oh God.
and a lot of times, some are like, hey, that sounds fun. And then some are like, oh, please God, no.
Yeah. And I mean, Jesus, we've flip-flopped within mid-sentence on some of these as well.
Yeah. As we saw,
oh, that sounds good. No, no, it doesn't. Oh, that does not sound good. Oh, wait, now it does.
Yeah. You look at who's associated with it and so on. So yeah, there's lots to look forward to.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mix that in with all the Star Wars and Marvel movies and other superhero movies coming, and chances are a lot of that's going to get lost in the shuffle. But
yeah, of course.
I mean, because at this point, if it's not Disney.
Yeah, Disney is slowly but surely...
the monster megalith of the world at this point.
Yes, going to own the world. They are the mega corporation.
Yeah, all praise the big mouse.
Yeah.
The House of Mouse. All right, some quick housekeeping here. We've got our partner in Seat Giant. If you are looking for tickets to your favorite band or sports team, if you're We're out. Calgary Flames are out of the NHL playoffs, and
have been for a while.
It was a quick ride. We had one great game.
One amazing game. And then they choked.
But hopefully your teams are still in it, and you can grab some playoff tickets over at Seat Giant, and concert tickets, and baseball starting up, NFL.
Theater tickets.
They've got your hookup at SeatGiant.com and .ca if you're a Canadian like us. And you can get an extra discount at checkout on your purchases by using our promo code INVASION. So make sure when you're at Seat Giant to use the promo code INVASION and then enjoy. Enjoy the world. Go out after you listen to this podcast and go to a show and go to a sports game and have some fun. And that little extra kick is on us.
There you go. It's easy.
It's easy. Seat Giant. They're a game changer. And another way you can support the show is by dropping us a 5-star rating and a short review over on iTunes. It helps raise us up in the charts, or at least keep us on the charts when you're doing regular reviews. Take 5 seconds.
Do it. It's easy.
Yeah. Do it. It's easy. Is this your catchphrase now? Do it. It's easy.
Yeah, that's going to be my catchphrase from now on. Yeah.
So do it. It's easy. Help people get their earballs on the show. And, of course, you can tell people where to find the show. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, and even
frickin' YouTube.
So make sure you tell your friends where we are, and wherever you listen to us, make sure you hit that subscribe button, and do it on YouTube as well. And if you want notifications, just make sure you ding that bell.
Do it. It's easy.
And that's it for this week's episode. That was Remakes in Your Future. Sorry. There are so many. We didn't do it. We just report about it. That's all. That it's all happening, whether you wanted it or not. Vote with your dollars. If you want the skinny on them, always tune in to Invasion of the Remake. I've been Jason.
I am always Sam.
And we are out of here.
Do it. It's easy.